Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here today to take you on another audio journey through The Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today's journey is a continuation of The Choice of Trials, covering questions 267 to 273.
Enjoy.
Question 267. Can a spirit choose its next corporeal life during its present one?
Its desire may have an influence, depending on its intention. In the spirit state, however, it frequently sees things quite differently. It is the spirit as such that makes the choice, but even so, it may make it during its material life, because a spirit always has moments in which it is independent of the matter it inhabits.
Subquestion 267. Don't many individuals desire greatness and wealth, but not as an expiation or a trial?
Undoubtedly, it is the flesh that desires greatness and wealth in order to enjoy them, but it is the spirit who desires them in order to experience the tribulations they can cause.
Question 268. Until it reaches the state of perfect purity, does a spirit have to constantly undergo trials?
Yes, but they are not as you understand them. You call material tribulations trials. Even though it may not yet be perfect, a spirit who reaches a certain degree does not have any more trials to endure. However, it always has non-suffering duties consisting in helping others to improve themselves. These will, in turn, help it evolve further.
Question 269. Can a spirit be mistaken as to the effectiveness of a trial it chooses?
It may choose one that exceeds its strength, and then it succumbs. It may also choose one that will not be profitable at all. For example, a kind of idle and useless life. In such a case, however, upon returning to the spirit world, it realizes that it has gained nothing and asks to make up for the lost time.
Question 270. Why do persons have certain vocations or the desire to follow one career instead of another?
It seems to me that you can answer this question yourselves. Isn't it the result of everything we have said about the choice of trials and the progress accomplished in the preceding existence?
Question 271. When a spirit in the errant state studies the conditions that will enable it to progress, how could it possibly imagine it could do so by being born among cannibals?
Spirits who have already advanced are not born among cannibals. Only those of the same nature as cannibals, or those who are even less evolved.
Author's remarks for question 271. We know that our cannibals are not at the lowest degree of the scale, and that there are worlds where brutality and ferocity have no comparison on Earth. Such spirits are therefore even less evolved than the least evolved on our world. To be among our cannibals is progress for them, just as it would be progress for our cannibals to exercise a profession among us that would require them to shed blood. If they aim no higher, it is because their moral impurity does not allow them to comprehend a more complete progress. A spirit cannot advance except gradually. It cannot simply leap over the gap between barbarity and civility. In this resides one of the necessities of reincarnation, truly showing it to be in accord with God's justice. Otherwise, what would become of the millions of beings who die every day in the ultimate state of degradation if they had no means of lifting themselves out of it? Why would God withhold from them the favors granted to others? Question 272. Can spirits who come from a world that is less evolved than Earth, or from a much less advanced people, such as cannibals, be born amongst civilized people.
Yes, there are those who go astray by wanting to ascend too quickly, but they are out of place among you. They display habits and instincts that clash with yours.
Author's remarks for question 272. Such beings present us with the sad spectacle of ferocity in the midst of civility. Returning to live among cannibals would not be a regression for them, because it would be no more than a resumption of their proper place, even perhaps with some advantage. Question 273. Could a person belonging to a civilized culture reincarnate into a less advanced one as an expiation?
Yes, but it would depend on the kind of expiation. Masters who had been cruel to their servants might become servants themselves and suffer the harsh treatments they used to inflict on others. Those who gave orders at one time might, in a new existence, obey those who formerly bent to their will. This would be an expiation if they used to abuse their power, and God can impose it on them. Furthermore, a good spirit may choose an influential life among such a culture to enable it to advance. In that case, it is a mission.